B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So we were talking about Aaron Hernandez, whether or not he ever played at UConn. He never did. Pat was right.
I have to fall on the sword here, Pat.
I thought he played there and then transferred.
I was looking at pictures of DJ Hernandez, his brother. That was the game.
The best was I come in and I start reading off a website I can thank for a college degree, Wikipedia. And Jamie goes, what's his picture then?
Dude, he was pretty confident.
I go, dude, it's his brother. It literally says the headline is DJ Hernandez.
Well, first I was on Google Images where it didn't say that, Pat.
Fake football guy.
So yeah. Anyway.
I didn't even watch sports.
I swear I remembered in the documentary that he played a semester and then left.
What we take away from this is that super Aaron Hernandez fan, Pat Egan, told us where Aaron Hernandez played his college.
That's exactly
football.
What I want on my resume.
Super Aaron
Resident
Hernandez.
Resident of the Aaron Hernandez non-UConn playing fan club, Pat Egan. Here's what I do love. South Philly Ted tweeted us and said, yeah, he did. Aaron Hernandez never played at UConn. Pat is right here.
Yeah, no, it's rare.
Yeah, I like when they qualify. It's like, well, actually, Pat's right on this. It's
somebody hit me up this morning and said, like, you're wrong about this one. I go, dude, you need to clarify what I'm wrong about, because there's a lot.
There's quite a bit. There's quite a bit. By the way, you know what you weren't wrong on? That show, Unsolved Mysteries. I bit the bullet, and I watched the French one.
Oh, is that what you meant by reading?
I was reading.
Subtitles?
Yeah. It was worth the read, this episode. And I'm reading the subtitles, all these people speaking the French and all that. And what I found really interesting was it drew me in more.
Yeah,
This was one of eight episodes, if that? This was the most interesting.
I think it was because you had to pay attention.
Yeah, I hate that. But anyway.
You couldn't be on your phone. You had to sit there and read it all.
Yeah, and
dude.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it is captivating. It has to do with a family's murdered.
A whole family.
A whole family.
In France?
In France, yeah.
No, it was at UConn.
Oh, it's the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
It's just everybody is talking French.
It's not Unsolved.
To wrap you in.
Why did Aaron Hernandez kill this French family?
They've caught the killers. The real mystery is why they all speak French.
It says they're in Germany. Why do they speak French?
Has Aaron Hernandez been ruled out? I mean, it's possible.
You know, I don't know how old he was in actually, no, he hasn't been ruled out. 2011? Where was he? He wasn't at UConn. We know that much. 610-632-0975. I will say this. If you're watching that series and you've avoided, like I did originally, if you were avoiding the French episode, oh, man, it's good. It is really, really good, man. So you can check that out for yourself. It's almost as horrifying as, and suspenseful as some sports scenes that we've seen here. But when you watch what's going on now in the Philadelphia sports scene, I have enjoyed sometimes Sixer basketball, just the fact that it's back. And I've enjoyed being upset at the 76ers and getting upset about Brett Brown's rotations. Going into yesterday, and I even ended the show yesterday by giving you my wish list. And what was it? This is what I wanted to see. Here's my wish list. I wanted to see Ben Simmons play a complete game. I wanted to see Brett Brown's rotations get shortened so that I could actually get a little preview of what he was going to do for the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would be nice if the Phillies won. Phillies did win.
You got some of those.
Phillies did win.
Yeah.
They won the first game.
They should have swept.
I wanted to see the starters pitch, you know, six innings at least. I got that. I didn't want to see the bullpen blow it. They did it once. They almost did it twice in the first game. And I got the wish of seeing a shorter bench from Brett Brown. I also didn't see Howell Neto, so that was
that,
cool.
That was a big that was the big positive of the day.
That was the absolutely big positive of the day. And you also saw Alec Burks come in off the bench as a third point guard, more or less, for this
team.
So that was good. I saw the shortened bench by Brett. I wanted to see Ben have a complete game. He only played 23 minutes before he
and
left
looked off.
He did look off.
Yeah, again,
he did not look. In a game that you want to see him dominate,
yeah,
against the Wizards, where you really don't have anybody to match up against anybody on your squad.
Ish Smith.
Oh, Ish Smith, yeah, usually. But by the way, did you see Shake Milton give a little Kobe shake to Ish Smith on the baseline? Little Jordan Kobe shoulder shake.
Was that the fadeaway he had?
Yeah. I was like, good for you,
that
Shake.
That was a nice move.
That was a great move by Shake Milton.
It's nice to see, you know, like somebody be able to do that on the Sixers?
He created his own shot, which is which isn't something that we
that
see
happens?
Too often. Him, Tobias create their own shot. It's nice to see every once in a while.
Yeah, because I watched the bubble and it's like, oh, that guy just created his own shot. It's like all these guys that can create shots.
No, pass, stand still, wait for the ball again. Pass, stand still, wait for the ball again. Joel Embiid backs a guy down 2 points.
Joel Embiid can do it. Tobias Harris sometimes can do it. That's kind of it.
But overall, watching that game yesterday, it was another game that the Sixers should have dominated.
Yeah.
And they did not dominate.
Yep.
Not even close.
No.
I mean, you look at the fourth quarter. They didn't allow some crazy fourth quarter by the Wizards, fortunately. It wasn't some 40-point fourth quarter by the Wizards. So even if you want to spike the football that they didn't struggle again in the fourth, cool. But it still was the Wizards. A team that it shut down had, what, 24 wins? Sixers should have dominated this game. They didn't. I wanted the warm and fuzzies in this game. I didn't get the warm and fuzzies. The one major takeaway that I had from this Sixers game was simply the fact that when Ben Simmons left and Joel Embiid decided to take over, he did just that.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons went out with about 5 minutes left in the third quarter. From that point, now Joel Embiid wasn't in the game at that point. Joel Embiid was on the bench. He came off the bench with about 3 minutes left. From that point to the end of the game with Ben Simmons out, he put up 18 of his 30 points in that game. That's exactly what you want to see from the guy that is the runaway MVP of your team, the best player on your team, your MVP candidate overall in the league. That's what you want to see from Joel Embiid. But as I teased before the break,
when you're playing Thomas Bryant and Pazenjic, however the hell you say it.
Yeah, but it was
Pazenjic.
Yeah, look, I get that. I'm taking into account who he's playing against.
Jeez.
But in the first half versus the second half, he decided to start playing. And you never want to see a player flip a switch. You just want them to be in that mode.
Don't seem to be in that mode.
Yeah, this is what I can do, so I'm going to do it. But when Ben went out, he at least took it upon himself to say, okay, we're not losing to the Wizards.
Yeah.
And they didn't lose to the Wizards.
Yeah, no, it's good to see, but I mean, Thomas Bryant.
I get it. I'm taking that into account. But you can only play who's in front of you.
I hear you.
Ben leaving is still the lead of the game.
If he just shot the open jump shot, he wouldn't have gotten hurt.
I really don't think that he had any intention to shoot, and I don't know what he was doing there, but he had the shot.
Yep.
It was there for the taking.
He sure did.
He let one rip earlier in the game, a corner three that he missed.
Yep. Good to see you, I guess.
Let it fly.
Yeah.
Let it fly.
Here's what annoys me, though, about it. He seems to take the threes against really bad teams.
Oh, you've noticed that.
And only bad teams.
Mm.
So when he first took that open three, I was like, all right, well, it's the Wizards. Let's try to do this against a team that actually matters, because it's just it's so hollow to me at this point. And it's so rare to see, and yet it's still so hollow.
By the way, real quick, early returns on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Early returns, and I like how you phrase this, Patrick. What has you more shook? Ben Simmons' injury or Philly's bullpen struggles? Philly's bullpen struggles in the lead by 55%.
Wow.
55% to 45%. How about
wow.
that?
Wow. I'm not in the minority.
Look, you know what? That actually makes me feel good, because I thought I was being overly optimistic about not being worried about Ben Simmons' knee injury. And here we are. The majority of the people, they're with yours truly. Huh? How about that? But just watching Joel Embiid in this game, I would rather see him dominate from start to finish, but as I was saying before the break, the one play that has really stuck with me outside of anything related to Ben getting injured was in the second quarter. Joel Embiid gets a rebound while he is on the ground. And I'll say this as an aside, Joel Embiid has been on the ground a lot these three games, like a lot more than my liking. And it hasn't been like easy falls to the ground. Like, he's been knocked down multiple times. So Joel Embiid's on the ground, gets the rebound. I believe he kicked it to Shake Milton. The ball is established in the half court. The half court set is set. They're ready to go. And then like 5 seconds later, 7 seconds later, you see Joel Embiid mosey into the shot and immediately call for the ball at the top of the key. And I'm like, dude.
A lot of the times when he shoots his threes, it's because he's dragging ass, the last man up the court, and he doesn't even have a thought in his mind about going to the mid-range or down low game. He just lazily will shoot a three.
I don't feel like walking to the block.
Yep.
And that's walking to the block. I don't even feel like going down to the block. I'm just going to shoot a three, so I'm closer to the other end.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
But
I don't think that's ever going to change.
Oh, God, I hope so.
I don't think so.
Especially when he wasn't down there, the blocks were wide open. I mean, that was one pass to the wing, a pass to the block, and he's got 2 points right there.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it's going to happen. That's always going to be a part of his game.
All right. So my one thought was, did we get a little too excited too early about Joel Embiid and the great shape and all that?
No, I still think he's in better shape than I expected.
Here's
when your bar's pretty low. Like, that's the thing with Philly right now. There's so many low bars that just need to be beaten.
Yeah.
My expectations for Joel Embiid's conditioning is at a all-time low. So he came in better than I expected. So I chalked that up to a win.
That play, that went, oh, come on, Joel. All right. And then.
But he'll do that in peak condition, too.
Yeah, but then Ben leaves the game, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get stronger now. And then that's when he dominated.
Yeah, like I think that might have been part of their problem on the road this year, is they have that mindset of, oh, we can turn this on when we want to and just take care of teams we're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that easy.
Yeah.
You can't just flip a switch in the third quarter or fourth quarter all the time and get away with it.
No, not against the Raptors,
no.
Not against the Bucks,
yeah.
Not against the Lakers.
Against the Spurs and the Wizards, teams like that, you can do that and get away with it. But that's not who you're playing in five games. You're playing some real deal heavyweight opponents, and look, a first-round exit is staring this team in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I still like their fighter's chance against the Heat and the Celtics, but that's staring you right down the eyes.
By the way, see the Lakers last night?
Yeah, they lost.
They did not look good.
No.
Did LeBron get teed up on the bench?
He was
jawing at the officials.
Yeah.
And he was jawing at the officials, and then he started patting his bald spot, and I was like, just let it go, man. Join the club.
LeBron.
Join the club there, LeBron. Let's get to our good friend Mike in KOP. What's up there, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, it's at least to Ben to be the only idiot out on the floor that can get injured by not taking a shot.
You know what's funny? He got injured by not taking a shot, potentially, and then Bryce Harper left the game early because he swung really hard. Like, this is the world we're in right now.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, this team stinks. Like, Ben doesn't care. Joel's lethargic until he has to play. Like, they just don't care.
Mike, let me interject. What are you excited about in basketball? What are you excited about in Philadelphia sports at all?
Well, at this point, nothing. Like, there's nothing that excites
me. Other
than the Flyers.
There you go. They play today at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, but to try finding that game on any TV channel, it's like you have to be like, you know, goddamn Franco Pizarro, like finding these hockey games anywhere.
Yeah, NBC is so tough to find.
Wait. Franco Pizarro?
Yeah, it's Francisco Pizarro.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, did I miss some TV maven or something like that? Okay, yeah. Francisco Pizarro.
But I'm just like, these games stink. Like all of them, like the whole Philly sports landscape except for the Flyers stink, and no one in this city except for like 20,000 hardcore fans love the Flyers. Everybody else just hates on them, so it's just more of the same until the Eagles come back. But then we're being told they might not even come back, so everything stinks. Joel stinks, Ben stinks, the whole team stinks. I don't care about anything at this point.
Can you tell me what Francisco Pizarro's occupation was?
He was a Spanish explorer.
Oh, come on. Give me the good word. Give me the good word for Spanish explorer.
He was a conquistador.
Conquistador! That's right. Thank you, Michael. Always good talking to you. See you, buddy.
That was uplifting.
Conquistador!
That is a great word.
Even when he tries to be positive, he can't. He's like, well, I'm looking forward to the Flyers, but you can't even find the game. The games are literally on either NBC or the channel that has all the Phillies and Sixers games.
You know, yeah. I just speak into my remote and I say, NBC. And boom, there's hockey.
Or Flyers.
Or you hit Flyers. The C button, yeah. Which I love, the Sports app.
Yeah.
And then it just brings you all the games on the side. It's very difficult these days. I understand Mike's pain there.
Do you think Mike's ever had a meal at like a diner and been like, oh, this is the perfect temperature for me. Thank you. Or do you think it's been, this is a little cold. This is a little cold. I'm going to have to heat this up.
He goes to the diner, but then but he's like, all the food here sucks. I don't know why I come.
He immediately takes the coleslaw off because he believes it's recycled.
He just looks in the menu and just hates himself.
Pretty much. That was probably the greatest word you learned in school. Conquistador. Francisco Pizarro. By the way, famous for what? I believe exploration of Peru. And when I say exploration,
I was going to say discovering Manchego cheese. That's not it.
Yeah, no, I like Jamie's better.
Yeah, Peru. I mean,
you're going to go with this fancy stuff.
You did Machu Picchu.
I
did Machu Picchu.
That's pretty awesome.
It was. I also had the crazy altitude sickness, And they were like, oh, chew the coca leaf. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do that. And they're like, no, do it. I'm like, okay, fine. And
did it help?
No, didn't do anything. But I can now say I chew the coca leaf. Very bitter.
Yeah.
I got crazy altitude sick. Huh. I took a bus ride that was 22 hours long.
And I was going to ask a specific question about where the sickness is coming from, but that's probably best suited not for radio. Is it north or south?
Both.
Ah, okay, good times. So it's kind of like food poisoning. Hit you from both angles.
Whatever it was, I'll say this, the food in Peru was not good. I had one good meal, and I actually had that meal twice because I was like, oh my God, this meal's so delicious. We're going back here tomorrow night. It was trout from Lake Titicaca.
Huh.
I went to Lake Titicaca.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Sounds perverted.
Hey, how they say it, not me.
I hear you.
But like, when I watch the Sixers, I do look for reasons to be optimistic. I want to see Shake settle in, and he certainly looks like he did that. I found it very interesting that while Ben Simmons was playing, and this was more or less the start of the first quarter and the start of the second quarter, so the start of both halves here was the version of the Sixers I thought we were going to get. Did you notice this? They get the tip. Ben Simmons is the guy bringing the ball up, right? Then, in the start of the second half, Ben Simmons was the guy bringing the ball up. It seemed like in transition or in like to get a rebound, it would go to Ben, and he would bring the ball up. And Shake would be there as a shooter for Ben Simmons to pass to. And I thought, well, this is cool.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
When they started out the game, I thought, oh, wow, we're going to see a shorter rotation from from Brett, because our friend Keith Pompey put that out from Inquirer.com, that we're going to see a shorter rotation from Brett. We're going to see like 9 players in this game. And I thought, okay, well, that's good. And then that's pretty much what you saw. And then I was like, are we going to see a little bit of a schematic change as well, where Ben gets the ball on a rebound, he pushes, Shake gets the ball after a made basket, and he brings it up? And more or less, you started to see that for the first half of the game, or for the first part of the first quarter and the first part of the third quarter. And I thought, this is what I expected to see. Transition, Ben Simmons brings the ball up. Anything else after a made basket, Shake Milton brings the ball up. They mixed it up a little bit as the quarters went on, but I thought that's the exact offense I want to see. I want to see Ben Simmons run the point, and I want to see Shake Milton be a go-to guy for Ben Simmons. I want to see him as more or less a combo two guard, if anything, where, yeah, he could be there to run point if you need him, but he's also on the floor to create his own shot and also catch and shoot situations where he's getting the ball from Ben. I thought that was a great setup. And it worked. They got points right out of the gate.
I'm looking forward to talking to Jeff Van Gundy about it at 8 o'clock because I like the Van Gundy's basketball minds. I think they're pretty sharp dudes.
Yeah.
So it's good to remove ourselves from the local kind of microscope we look at this team from. Yeah. And I know Stan, his brother, is high on the Sixers. So I'm curious to see what if Jeff sees the same things that we see. And if his outlook is as pessimistic as all of ours. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him. Yeah, you'd like to see more of that. You don't understand why. Shake can be the perfect compliment to Ben.
I wasn't looking for
at least
a lot.
For what you have, not perfect in totality, perfect for this roster.
When Brett Brown came out and said that Ben had been predominantly the power forward in practice, I thought, that's a little much. Because I even said during the shutdown, the thing I'm most excited to see is Shake Milton's impact. Not that I was expecting him to be Michael Jordan or anything crazy. Just that I thought what this starting five needed was a glue guy. Like somebody that could just hit some outside shots for it, be somebody for Ben Simmons to pass to. And at times you need somebody else to bring the ball up and give Ben Simmons a full head of steam running down the court without the basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, look who can set him up. Shake Milton, a combo guard at SMU.
In theory, it should work better than it is so far. It's so weird because Shake, the first game, basically was a non-participant. And then Ben gets in the foul trouble. And then Ben again was off yesterday and ends up getting hurt. So they haven't really had a full crack at it yet, which is bizarre and just the story of this team.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they can never just have consistency.
I just need them to be conquistadors. That's what I need.
Is this the curse of the process? That they're just never going to be able to play like a consistent team? Like they'll never have the same consistent lineups?
How did we, like, if you think about it, if there are basketball gods, and when we say that, it's basketball karma. You
know? Yeah.
Will they ever reward us with a championship?
Probably not. Probably not.
By the way, speaking of pessimism, Mike in KOP now checks in on Twitter saying he used to be a waiter. at Champs, which, by the way, underrated nachos at Champs. He never complains about service.
Good for you, Mike.
That's good.
You can judge a lot about somebody by how they treat the waitstaff.
Service, he won't complain about service, but food.
I hate those chefs, but I won't complain about the service.
Sitting there cold and he just devours it.
You know, like the waiter or waitress comes over and he's like, look, I know it's the chef's fault. Chefs suck, all right? They bought you guys down. I used to be a waiter. They suck. Everything sucks.
Could you imagine if Mike used to be like a general manager of a sports team? He would have a little, he'd grade everybody else on a curve. 610-632-0975. Also, Jordan checks in saying, versus the Ben Simmons knee injury versus the Phillies bullpen, which has you more concerned? He says, well, one is day to day. The other looks like it's going to suck for a long time. May never recover. Jordan's
good point.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
All it makes a fine point.
We're going to get to Pat and Glenn's side in a second. We do, for our caller of the day, we have a $50 gift card to the NFL shop. How about that? All right. This weekend, I believe it is, or next week, we got the Hard Knocks starting up with two teams being featured. If you ever wanted to see a behind the scenes or get a behind the scenes look at the goings on of an NFL locker room, this would be the one to check out. How are they handling coronavirus? What's the protocol in Los Angeles for these teams to get back to work? That's what we're going to be talking about probably a little bit next week. And today, you could actually win yourself a $50 gift card for the NFL shop. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we will look at that Phillies bullpen a little bit closer, and we'll see if people are on the Gabe Kapler train already with Joe Girardi. Because here's what I don't like. Jamie, we've already been accused of the Gabe Kapler hate train for Joe Girardi.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry. We can't be upset that your ace was pulled?
Yeah. No, you can piss me off one night and I can still like you as a manager.
You still like Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, I just think Matt Klentak is the problem more so than the manager.
And I would agree with you.
I mean, I don't know how you trot out this bullpen. You know, look, bullpens are weird. Occasionally you get lucky and you find a guy and it works out for you and they're kind of unpredictable. But this one is atrocious. Mm-hmm. This barely has major league pitchers in it.
Don't worry, though. Reggie McClain's coming off of paternity leave any day now.
Say his name right.
McClain.
Do they have a boy or a girl? Do we know?
I don't. I think you should spend a lot of time with that child, though, and not leave.
I think you should have a boy. I'm hoping it's a boy. I'm hoping they named him John.
I tweeted this last night, and I just think this bullpen needs a bonding experience. Maybe to a casino or a nightclub or to get some milk. I don't know, but they need to go out and hit the town and have a bonding trip.
I see what you're doing there.
By the way, you want to talk about great polls? I had the Golden Girls poll the other day. Let me tell you this. I told you, I'm binging Always Sunny. It's been like our dinner show right now. My wife and I, and then Sopranos has been our like go-to show.
Our dessert,
yeah, right. The scene where they recreate the Die Hard end of the movie scene.
It's phenomenal.
And Danny DeVito says, what do you think? Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Falcon. That is a great poll. Do you know what it's a reference to? When 6ABC would do the $1 million movie, the dub over MF was Mother Falcon.
And that's Rob McElhenney for you right there.
Oh, my God. Greatest poll in the history of polls, ladies and gentlemen. 610-632-0975. We come back, take a look at that Phillies bullpen once again. Time of the Fanatic is 722. And ladies and gentlemen, how about betting with Park Casino and Sportsbook? My casino and sportsbook of choice. Basketball's back. Hockey's back. Baseball's back. Philadelphia plus 140. The underdog to New York today, minus 162. Philadelphia to win, over under right now, 9.5 runs, plus 330. Get it all right now. Get all that action on the Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. How about a little hockey action? Philadelphia opened up as an underdog at plus 135 against Washington today. It's a bet you got to look at right now when it comes to all things betting on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Make sure you check it out right now. Download it to your phone. ParksCasino.com/PA. Right now, they got some great offers for you like this. Like, first off, when you bet with Parks Casino, you're not betting with some overseas company that doesn't know you, don't even know their customers. You're betting with somebody that's right in your backyard, Bucks County, where I grew up. So bet with the hometown team, Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Sign up now, get a risk-free bet from up to $500. Yeah, that's right, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's parkscasino.com/PA. Use my promo code FANATIC to get your risk-free bet up to $500. Their website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. You must be 21 or older and present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Farzetta in the morning. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in about a half hour, we'll be joined by Jeff Van Gundy, former head coach of the New York Knicks for a long time, former head coach of the Houston Rockets. We'll get his take on everything. You know, when you think of Jeff Van Gundy, what do you think of him?
I hate
what
him getting dragged on in the fight. He's hanging on. Was it Zoe's leg?
Yes.
And Zoe was just like, who's hanging on me? I'm going to keep moving. And Van Gundy's like, I'm going to stop you.
That should have been the first blocker charge joke made. If social media was around that, it would be that.
It's unfortunate for Jeff, but that's kind of the first image I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he knows that. And I think he's got a great sense of humor about it.
Yeah, I do think he has a good sense of humor.
I always enjoyed him. We'll get his take.
I think he's a good analyst.
And what do the Sixers need? What do they need?
Because guards?
We're looking at it, and we think, what, shooters? We need the Sixers need shooters, right? We can all agree on that.
Yeah, somebody that can handle and pass well from the outside. Somebody that can create a shot. A lot.
But when we look at this team, what do we always see? What do we always say? Oh, they got all the talent. They got a lot of talent.
Have a lot of talent.
How would you organize this team? Would you make Ben Simmons a full-time point guard? Full-time power forward?
That's the number one question I'm sure you'll lead with is if Jeff, if you're coaching the Sixers, what are you doing with Ben Simmons?
Now, my first question is, do you and Zoe keep in touch? That's my first question. Let's get to Pat and Glenside. What's up, Pat?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Hey, man.
Morning, Pat. I saw the Flyers parade go through Glenside yesterday.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, a little pep parade.
Led by, I believe, Gritty and Andrea Helfrich, Flyers in arena host.
Yeah, Gritty, Glenside's hometown. But, I'm a simple man, right? I don't ask for much. I don't need much. But where did I go wrong with this Phillies team, right? You have the fat tavern hand, Tommy Hunter, coming out of the bullpen. You have Austin Davis. It's like, do we have people tailgating outside? Or are we just pulling random guys out of Lot K now and throwing them in the 6th, 7th inning saying, give us what you got? Because everybody looks clueless.
Yeah, it's not a major league bullpen, Pat. It's really not.
I mean, and offensively, it's a low farm approach at the plate. Kingery, Reese. I mean, Reese is more concerned with his mustache and his hair than he is with swinging the bat.
Hey, don't tell me you weren't excited about his first. Don't tell me you weren't excited about his first RBI single yesterday.
Listen, fellas, you got to take everything with a grain of salt from that guy, right? It's few and far between these days. And I'm ready to give up.
Yeah, he's certainly concerning because this lineup was built with him having power in mind, and clearly he doesn't have that anymore. And it's starting to become a real concern because at first base, you can't have a leadoff two-hole hitter. You just can't. It's a power position. You need pop. And without him, I'm afraid we got Don Brown.
No, 100%. Or an extension of Darren Ruff.
Yeah.
Right? What? Is Reese going to go to Korea next season? I really don't know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, here's where the argument will be, and this is why Girardi moved him up. And it's actually, for me, it's discouraging that Joe Girardi moved him up in the order because it let Rhys Hoskins know, and I don't think he's lost that power. I think he's just lost the approach to the plate. But it's let him know, a guy that has that talent and that ability, hey, you know what? Don't worry about those home runs. Just get on base. That's okay. But if a guy has that ability to maybe not have a .417 on base percentage like he has right now, and maybe have something closer to a .370, .380 on base percentage, but can also hit you 30 to 40 home runs in any given season, why not champion that cause a little bit more instead of, hey, just get on base?
Exactly. Guy's first thought is he's looking for a walk right away.
Yeah.
He wants to keep the balance.
That's all he does.
There's no danger here. No danger.
Yeah. And I got a question for you. Is McCutcheon still hurt?
Judging by his performance recently, yes, but I don't think so. I just think he's having a really bad start. That's, I mean, in all honesty.
Is he too wrapped up with his Uncle Larry persona?
I'm going to say no. I'm not going to, like, I enjoy the Uncle Larry. I'm not enjoying it as much recently because he's batting under 100. But I just think he's off to a bad start. I don't think it has anything to do with the injury.
It's tough. Gentlemen, Sixers question for you.
Mm.
How did Raul Neto catch an invitation to the bubble?
He's got the Disney Fast Pass. He's a yearly member, so yeah. He's just there.
I'm on my way to get an MRI on my knee right now, just in case I get the call that they need me down there. But you know, it's tough, fellas. Prayers for the Philadelphia community right now. We need everything we can get. You know, it's a tough time to be a Philadelphian. But a great time to be a Glen Cityan, let me tell you.
Thanks, Pat, stay right there. I want to put Pat, you're the man. I'm going to put you on hold because I want you to be in the running for our $50 gift card to the NFL shop.
And I'm probably going to be moving out your way, Pat. So we'll tip one back at the Glenside Pub one.
Yeah.
Day.
Do you want to? I wasn't going to open up the can on the air, but you are. If you want to, the floor is yours.
That general area. Yeah. I love that area.
No. But what I'm saying is, you're leaving.
Yeah. They're going to be leaving the city.
Was it the Mummers, Jamie?
No, it was the offer of free daycare. In all honesty.
Not for another man. I can identify with that.
Yeah, it was entrapment. My mother-in-law knew what she was doing.
Well, when you have a kid and you live in the city, anyone else who's like older lives around you? Like, I've been asked by people that have been living on my block for like 30 years. Like, we just moved there like a year ago. They're like, oh, yeah, so do you guys want to move out of the city? When do you guys think you'll leave the city? And they're shocked. When I say we have no plans to leave the city.
Yeah.
Like, I understand. I say it now that we have no plans to do it, but I don't know what's going to happen in like 5 years.
Yeah, we didn't either. And, you know, a free daycare offer is an impossibility to refuse. So, we got had.
Yeah, we love the city, but just yesterday we were asked by people that have been lifers on our block.
I'm going to miss it. I really am.
I love living in the city.
I love having a baby in the city, too. Like, being able to walk to all the parks, walk to a coffee shop, walk to, you know, wherever. So I'm going to miss that.
You're going
to
go through a transitional period.
Yeah, I'll probably be mopey for a little bit. I'm going to miss the food the most.
You're just mopey today, bro.
I'm not too bad.
You've got a little bit more chipper.
Yeah.
In the last hour, 40 minutes.
I want to give him a hug, but 6 feet, you know?
You can wear a mask and give him a hug.
Well, maybe if Joe Girardi had just left Aaron Nolan, I'd be fine. How concerned on a scale of 1 to 10? Because I've been doing... Did We Get Bamboozled by Rhys Hoskins shows for dating back to early last year. I've been really concerned about him. How concerned are you on a scale of 1 to 10 about him?
Well, the fact that he's your two-hole hitter, I'm concerned because I think he has power. I think he has shown and proven in his career that he has power.
Because I'm at a 10.
Well, 10
is the panic.
That he's a bust?
Not a bust because he can get on base.
Yeah.
But... For this lineup, he's a bust.
Yeah, you were hoping he could be that.
Him and Bryce are supposed to be your homer guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if he's not that, this lineup is flawed.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Like, it's at the point where I'm going, should Alec Bohm get a look? At first base.
I'm not there.
I've had these dark thoughts in my head.
Yeah, it's only been 5 games.
Yeah, but
No. This dates back to last year with Reese.
But he still has, what, 29 home runs last year?
It's not good enough.
And look, that's not like eye-popping power numbers these days.
That's average for MLB.
That's average for a good power
hitter.
Well,
yeah. For
not a great power hitter.
A power hitter in a bandbox, too. I mean, you can't.
True.
I'm very concerned.
I don't like the on-base percentage. I'm not like one of those people that's like, yeah, but look at his on-base percentage. But it's always on-base percentage. It's 4-17.
No, he clearly
17.
Has control of the zone.
Be more aggressive in the play.
If he has such control of the zone, why are you not aggressive?
I agree.
It's
give him more than 5 games of this coaching staff.
This goes back to last year.
I hear you, but I'm saying it's a new coaching staff. Give him.
I'm not saying I'm giving up yet, but last night I went, should Alec Bohm get a look at first base?
No, he should get a look at third base.
Gene Segura. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm good on him too.
I understand why he's been on what, 6 teams in 8 years.
It was a great hitting shortstop. He like was the best batting average any shortstop in the last 2 years.
When you see a guy on that many teams in that many years, something's up.
Yeah, but look, I mean, for the most part, look who he's traded for. I think that's unfair to say.
Why, he was traded for J.P. Crawford?
No, until that point, and that was really a salary dump on their part, mm-hmm. but it was traded for Zach Greinke. The trade to Seattle, I think, was for a pretty good player too. So it I understand what you're saying, that you normally it's a red flag.
Well, those teams are going, we know what Gene is.
I think you're good. Buying in too much to five games. Like, this bullpen we know sucks, but
this isn't five games. The Reese talk is not five games. It's last year.
It's five games
with
the new coaching staff.
He has no aggressiveness. He's been neutered.
Okay, let the new coaching staff work.
So you're
more than five games.
All right.
So he's not. Yeah. I'm not as concerned as you are.
Oh, I'm extremely concerned.
I would say when it comes to concern, you're 10 out of 10. I'm like 6.5, 7.
Okay. And Kingery's approaching similar territory. Look, he had COVID, so I'm gonna give him a much bigger curve.
Okay.
But they paid him pretty handsomely, and something they don't do or as a franchise.
They're getting away with murder as far as
their farm system sucks, is what I'm getting to.
Nola and Kingery, though, for what you're supposed to be getting, like, Nola's earning his, but he's vastly underpaid considering what he gives you. Kingery is, overpaid right now, but if he does develop, it's an extremely team-friendly contract.
Once again,
the last 3 years are options, team options.
Five games.
Yeah, I understand.
Pat, fire everyone, okay?
No,
have some passion.
I can't believe I'm having to be the one that's being positive here today about the Phillies, but I know that you're frustrated about the farm system and all that, but my thing is...
That's the bigger issue.
It's basically one system, and as we can rip the farm system, one of the pieces of the farm system struck out 12 batters in 6 innings yesterday. Adam Haseley...
Yeah, but Aaron Nola, we know.
I think Adam Haseley's a really good player.
Why isn't he starting?
He's
clearly a better option. Yeah, I think he's good too. He's clearly a better option than Roman Quinn. You see him swing out of his shoes yesterday?
I know, I saw it. I think they look at Roman Quinn as a possible game changer in the sense of he's like a spark plug. He's like that Boston Scott third down back, the guy who can leg out a single at any moment. His speed is a factor.
I hear you.
But he also wasn't drafted 8th overall. And that's what Adam Haseley was.
Adam Haseley is actually really doing well.
No, I know.
I want to see more of him.
Look, I know it's a surprise after people thought that, hey, I watched about 6 at-bats and decided he can't play, that the 8th overall pick in the draft actually can play, but he actually can play.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I don't understand if people are just out on young players that aren't, like, overly hyped.
It was last year. Last year, all I heard, it was me and Tyrone were basically the only people that were saying, Adam Haseley's probably a pretty good player.
Yeah, let's give this guy
a shot. And all of a sudden, it was like, well, hey, I saw 4 at-bats, and the guys, I heard the worst. He was too skinny was one of them. He was too skinny.
Yeah, Sean Bradley.
As if he was Christian Bale in The Machinist. I mean, come on. He's too skinny?
Are we going for the most random movie references of all time today? Is that our goal?
We can get more random.
Mother Falcon. Is that what we're going for today?
Yeah.
Monday through Friday?
Reese has got to be shook, man.
Yeah, you seem frazzled by
Reese.
Yeah,
I think we're just buying in at the moment. And Jamie, you could absolutely be right, because if this is in 15 games and it's the same Reese... I'm probably there with you, but I'm willing to give these guys a little bit of time with the new coaches.
I don't think he's bad, but he doesn't attack.
He looks lost up there.
That's what you can say dates back to even last year.
Yeah.
Is that he's not aggressive in the strike zone. And that's been my thing. As much as I like on base percentage, and I know that it matters and it's a big deal, at some point you got to be able to drive in runs.
Yeah, like I want my on base percentage for my Adam Haseley's and Andrew McCutcheon's, and they'll get there. McCutcheon, I believe, will. On base percentage from Reese Hoskins from my 6'3" power hitting first baseman doesn't carry much weight with me. I'm sorry. I need you to be aggressive. I need you to be a home run hitter, and I need you to drive in runs.
I will say this also. I think that he is thinking too much.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think the evidence behind that is he comes into spring training with his hands a little lower, and then he gets them a little higher, and then he says it's a hybrid of both. And he's had the time to think about it, which is never a good thing in baseball.
No.
Thinking is bad.
It's mostly mental with him. I've never seen somebody with such great control of his zone be so unaggressive.
Here's what I don't need from Reese Hoskins. I don't need a .226 batting average.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was last year. And his on-base percentage was still good. It was like .370, something like that, .365. It was still okay. But I still rather him be driving in runs.
Yeah.
And it's important to get on base. It's important not to make outs. Nobody's saying it's not.
But I'm not saying he sucks.
I just know that there's more in that bat.
Yes. I'm just saying he's not what we once thought he was or could be.
All right, let's get to Brian on a cell and start with the Phillies bullpen. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, hey, Jamie. You can't beat the free childcare. I don't blame you on that one. and Pat, can we not put lipstick on a pig, man? That team is horrible. I've waited 4 months for this crap. I feel like I'm watching Tapler out there pull your ace in a 1-1 game.
Yeah.
At least this wasn't 58 pitches like it was with Kapler. This was 88 pitches, but still, you don't want to see that bullpen. You already ran through three bullpen arms in the first game. Why are you doing that with a guy who had 88 pitches?
And with an 8-run lead behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
With an 8-run lead, you went through three bullpen arms. I turned to my girlfriend. As soon as they took Nola out, I'm like, this is it. And he gave up, and Morgan gave up 5 straight base runners.
It's insane. What'd your girlfriend say? Was she like, what are they doing?
No, you don't want to know. You don't want to know what she said.
She said, I was going to say, I thought she was going to turn to you and say, Brian, I'm a lucky lady. I thought that's what she was going to say, but I guess not.
Well, she did say that because her Yankees were going to, so she did consider herself a lucky lady at that point.
Yeah, that's good. Yep, okay. Yeah, that's how that works, man. No, but Brian, are you as emotionally invested in this season as you have been in other seasons?
Listen, the Eagles and Phillies have my heart, so yeah, I'm invested in baseball.
Wow. Yeah,
absence makes the heart grow fonder, Mark.
Yeah, not for me. It made it more bitter. It's amazing. My heart's more bitter than it's ever been towards baseball.
I'm 35 years old, and the Phillies were the first team that ever brought me a championship. So yeah, I'm going to love the Phillies every year. And this bullpen, man, like, they went and picked up guys from Wawa. Come on. You're going to pick up 7 things tonight. Let's go.
Brian, great stuff. I'm going to put you in the running for our NFL gift shop. NFL shop.
The Phillies bullpen is as bad as ... Fill in the blank.
Yeah,
the Eagles wide receivers last year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what? Let's a little side fun today. Complete this sentence. The Phillies bullpen is as bad as...
Fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank. And you know what? You can tweet us. You can call in and give us your suggestion. And we'll have some
fun. Please, nothing serious like actual illnesses and sickness. So we're trying to have fun with this.
We got enough of them real things going on in the world, folks. By the way, the news is the most depressing thing. Like, I know it's never been uplifting.
Did Pat Glenside call Tommy Hunter a honey hate glazed ham?
Honey glazed ham and something about a beer tavern hand. It was something like that. And Tommy Hunter does look like that guy that's always at the bar.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that you might be a little friendly with. He's regular at the bar.
He's in the mug club.
Yeah, you don't have
it. Oh, Tommy's here. Grab his mug. It's right there, right front and center.
I never thought this, because my dad's not a big drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, rarely, right? Rarely will I ever drink. Like, I'm talking about everything. Like, wine, scotch, whiskey, beer. Very rarely do I ever see my dad drink. Like, when I moved out of the house and would go back home, every once in a while, my dad would want to go to this one bar.
And he had a mug?
And he had a mug.
That's awesome.
And I was like, look at you! Look at Joey! Joey's got a mug!
I don't have a mug. I thought about it at Iron Hill and Chestnut Hill. Okay. Before.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a goal in my life.
I just like the idea of trusting a bar with keeping your mug.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You guys, when's the last time you guys cleaned this? Can you watch it in front of me?
I need a mug at a bar.
How do I know there's not somebody like another Mark F here? Yeah. You know what I mean? Can you make sure you got that? All right, cool, thanks. Like, that's. Do you still have your timer set even though you're co-hosting?
Yeah. 1 minute. Guys, we break in 1 minute. All right, everybody, one's up. One's up.
This is like the third or fourth show meeting we've had on the air impromptu.
My man, that was the only alarm set.
So yeah. What guests do you guys want for tomorrow?
Jeff Van Gundy coming up in 10 minutes.
Does anybody have a number on Lenny Dykstra? That would be great.
He's another one that's got to be blocked on Twitter.
All right, anyway. So complete this sentence. 610-632-0975. The Phillies bullpen is as bad as...
Reese Hoskins.
Reese Hoskins power stroke. That's all.
Jesus, man.
What? I know. Sorry, I'm in a dark place.
Six games of the season. Guy just had his first RBI.
This dates back to last year. This is nothing new.
I understand that, but all people care about is what they're watching this year with this coaching staff. Pat's right on that. Pat's actually right here.
Hey, Brian Price looks like he's paying dividends.
Maybe he has.
My dad, who you thought died, who is very much alive, by the way. He checked in and said,
did he?
Phillies bullpen's as bad as Chip Kelly.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wow. Well, I don't get a snarky attitude from the Phillies bullpen, though, like I would from Chip Kelly. That's one thing there. But yeah, when we come back...
No, not at all.
We will talk to... That's the most mundane Chip Kelly drop. But anyway, when we come back, 8 o'clock straight up, we're going to talk to Jeff Van Gundy about all things 76ers when we return here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.